Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness.
Thanks, Mark. Everybody get one of these handouts. I just want to let you know, this is probably going to be one of my most useful handouts, and you'll see as we proceed with the sermon today. So, if you didn't get one, raise your hand and they'll get you one. And if you still are, there's a couple in the back there that need them, guys. Right there with the hands up. The title today is How to Deal with Fear. I was wanting to play a little joke on my brother and try and hum behind him that song and see if he would fall in and sing the Bible text instead of read it. But I didn't. I had the fear that I shouldn't. Okay. Black Bart was a professional thief whose name struck fear as he terrorized the Wells Fargo stage line. From San Francisco to New York, his name became synonymous with the danger of the frontier. Between 1875 and 1883, he robbed 29 different stagecoach crews. Amazingly, Bart did it without firing a single shot. Because a hood hid his face, no victim ever saw his face. He never took a hostage and was never trailed by a sheriff. Instead, Black Bart used fear to paralyze his victims. His sinister presence was enough to overwhelm the toughest stagecoach guard. How many of you are fearful of some particular thing? Come on, some of you don't like snakes and spiders. Did you know that there's over 100 different classified phobias? What we are talking about today is a fear that can come and overtake one's life. A fear that can come and begin to dominate. But you see, fear is not always a bad thing. God created fear so that we could have sudden bursts of strength and speed and energy during times of emergency. And there is the fear that God wants us to have for our protection and safety. Fears that guide our lives through dangerous situations. But when fear becomes a permanent condition, it can paralyze your spirit, terrorize your heart, and penalize your life. I have to admit, as a doctor and a father, I have met fear more than once. Fears for the protection and guidance of my wife and children. Fears that when doing surgery, I will cut the right things. And fears that my diagnosis and treatment will be correct and lead to health and healing. One of my strong fears is the fears of height. My kids know that well. But years ago, I have determined to meet that fear head on and challenge that fear, which has been a great help and many thrills. Fear is not a stranger to me, and I am sure it is not a stranger to you too. If we're honest, we're all a lot like the little boy who had two lines in a play. The two lines that he was supposed to say when he walked out on the stage were these: "It is I, be not afraid." But he came out on the stage and saw the crowd and instead said, "It is me, I am scared." The Bible doesn't paint the picture of God's people living without fear. In fact, in the Old and New Testament, there are many stories that dominated by fear. What about the disciples on the Sea of Galilee at night when the storm came up? And they were so, so afraid, and the Lord had to come and calm the sea. and the stories like David and Goliath, and Saul, who wouldn't go out and face Goliath because he was afraid. They couldn't find anyone in all Israel that would go out and fight this giant except for David. But the story in the Old Testament that best illustrates the principles of fear that you and I deal with every day is the story of the 12 spies that left Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land that God had given them. Did you hear what I said? The Lord had already given to them that promise, and God guarantees his promises. That story is in Numbers 13 and 14, but it is also in the book of Deuteronomy in the first chapter. So you can turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1, and in verse 19 we have the record of this event. You will notice that the principles of fear are shown here in this story. If you know anything about the setting here, you know that Israel had been freed from slavery and had come across the desert, and they were on the threshold of getting ready to go into the land of Canaan, the promised land. This is the land that was promised to them by God. It was the land that was given to Abraham. It was the land that flowed with milk and honey. It was the promised land, the land that they had dreamed about through all those years of slavery in Egypt. And now, here they were on the verge of entering into Canaan. And God allows them to send some spies into the land and to check it out and to see what is the best way to go into the land and look at the cities. And so, you know the story. The 12 spies went into the land to spy it out. And as we review this story, we see these principles so very clearly. And they remind us that the principles that dominate us when we have a spirit of fear are not any different than they were back in the times of Joshua and Caleb. As we read the story, we see here principle number one. Fear disregards God's plan. In verse 19 to 21, I'm reading, "And when we departed from Horeb, we went through all the great and terrible wilderness, which we saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto you, ye are come unto this mount of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give to us. Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged." This was their warrant, their invitation to go and take possession of the land which God had promised to them. But they would not go up because of fear. Fear took hold of their lives, and they wouldn't allow themselves to believe that God had actually brought them to a place of their inheritance and blessing. I want to tell you something that fear will do if you let it dominate your life. It will keep you from experiencing God's plan in your life. I want to repeat that. Fear will keep you from experiencing God's plan in your life. You see, we have an inheritance here today as well. And our inheritance for us is revealed in Timothy 1:7. Paul says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has not created us to be creatures dominated by fear. He has given us the principle of faith by which we may live, and if we determine to live in fear, we are disregarding God's plan for our lives. The same principle is given by Paul in Romans 8:15. We are told, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, But you receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Word of God tells us that His plan for us, that His desires for us, is that we live above fear, that we walk in the power of His love. The second principle in this passage is that fear distorts God's purpose. Fear distorts God's purpose. It's interesting to see what happens to us when fear dominates our lives. Everything gets out of perspective. Everything gets into distortion. And it is illustrated here in this story. The 10 men who came back from Canaan with their report had such a distorted picture of what was there. We read about this in verse 27 and 28, where it says, And ye murmured in your tents, and said, Behold, the Lord hates us. He hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, The people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakim there. These 10 men came back, and they told the Israelites, This is a great land, but we cannot go in there. There's no way we can go into that land. Why, the land is filled with the Anakim, and that's the word for giants. And they did see some giants, but there was no evidence that everyone they saw was a giant. Fear takes one giant and turns him into a whole population. Have you noticed that? It intimidates you. And they were so impressed by the inhabitants of Canaan that when they came back, they convinced themselves that the reason that God had brought them to the threshold of the land of Canaan was because God hated them and He wanted to destroy them. You say, that is the most irrational thought you could ever have of God. Yet, when fear begins to control your life, you don't think correctly and rationally. Fear distorts your life and the picture of everything. When you let fear take over in your life, you can be sure you are going to have a distorted picture of life, and it distorts God's purpose for you. Principle number 3. Fear will take everything that is going on in your life and destroy it. It will take everything that is going on in your life and distort it, and it will discourage you. It will discourage everyone you come in contact with. You say fear isn't just an isolated thing. Fear isn't something that just touches you. Fear touches everybody you touch. Isn't it interesting? 10 men out of the 12 came back with an evil report. And those 10 men so determined the destiny of Israel that the course of the nation was changed for the next 40 years. The testimony of 10 people, how many of you know that fear is infectious? They not only talked about the giants that they saw, but they brought one of the giants back with them, the giant of fear. And that giant walked into their camp and destroyed everything that was in the heart of the whole nation. And it was almost as if you were in the midst of a huge building packed with people and someone yelled fire. And the whole landscape changes. Fear distorts God's purpose and it destroys God's people. Principle number 4. Fear disbelieves God's promises. Notice in verse 29 to 33 how carefully the wording is given to us. Then I said unto you, Dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt, before your eyes. And the wilderness where thou hast seen, how the Lord thy God hath bear thee as a man doth bear a son, in all thy way that ye went, until ye came unto this place. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God, and went in the way before you to search out a place to pitch your tents, and fire by night to show you the way you should go, and a cloud by day. This challenge in the lives of the Israelite wasn't just God's introduction to them. This wasn't God saying, let's start from this place and go into the promised land. God had been with them through the whole experience in the wilderness and through all of their time in Egypt. And the Bible said he carried them along as you carry a child. He had been with them. He had helped them. He had ministered unto them. He fought their battles. He had brought them food, and he had given them direction by the cloud and by the pillar of fire, and all that experience was in their heart. And here they stand on a challenge, and it was like everything God had done for them was gone. You know what I've been learning as I get older? While faith is important, and it is important to build your faith, sometimes every experience of faith is like starting over. Have you noticed that? It would seem like if you had watched God do some great thing in the past, you should be able to climb up on that, and it would be real easy to trust him. But how many of you know that sometimes it doesn't work that way? And the Israelites are a certain illustration of that. They decided that in all the demonstrations that God had done in the goodness of their behalf, that they would not believe his word. Fear disobeys God's principles. Principle number 5. Notice verse 26. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. Here is where the crutch of the whole thing rests. Fear is disobedience. Fear is disobeying God. Many times in the Bible, there's this little phrase, fear not. For if we fear, we are not doing what God tells us to do. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. You may say, but I can't help my fears. Well, we'll be talking about that a little later. You know, God has given us the principle of faith, and to deny that is to deny God's plan in our life. And fear destroys and disobeys the principles of God. It says, you would not go up, but you rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. Now, what was the result of all this? The result is because they would not believe God, God wasn't going to provide for them what he promised to provide for them, and that was the land of Canaan. So in the next passage of Scripture, what you read in Deuteronomy and Numbers is this, that the whole generation that did not believe God was prohibited from going into the land of promise. All the adult generation, the generation of Joshua and Caleb, was forbidden to go into the promised land. And they spent the next 40 years wandering around in the wilderness until the whole generation died off. The only two people that were allowed to go into the promised land was Joshua and Caleb. Interesting thing is that the children of those that were afraid of the giants were the ones who were allowed to go into the promised land after the adults of the children were able to go into the promised land under Joshua's, after the adults died off, the children were able to go into the promised land under Joshua's leadership. How many know that if fear dominates your life, it ultimately destroys everything that God wants to do for you? Fear can steal away the very thing that God wants to give us. Fear is a powerful force. Fear can dominate a life. It can keep God from doing what he wants to do for you. So you say, what do we do about fear? What do you do when fear dominates your life. I want to give you four things I've learned from God's Word. Number one, you confront your fear honestly. You have to confront your fear. Fear isn't going to go away. If you have a spirit of fear that bothers you, you have to confront fear. You have to understand what it is, what is causing you to be fearful. You need to isolate that fear and confront it, because I promise you, it is not something you can run away from. If you run away from fear, wherever you show up, fear is waiting for you at the door, so you have to confront it. Number two, you need to confess fear to the Lord. Confess it as sin. If God says, fear not, and we fear, we are disobeying God. You may say, you cannot command your feelings. No, you cannot command your feelings. But you can allow your will to obey the voice of God. Let me repeat that. You may not be able to command your feelings, but you can allow your will to obey the voice of God. And you can fill your life with His truth. Psalms 34:4 says, I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and He delivered me from all my fears. This is a command with a promise. Obey God and see what He will do for you. There is only one way to get rid of fear, like any other sin. We have to recognize it, we have to confess it, and repent of it, and claim God's promise of forgiveness and go on with our life. So you have to confront your fear honestly, and you have to confess your fear to God. Number three, you need to claim God's promise of protection. Did you know that the Bible is filled with promises? And if I were a person that had a fearful spirit, I would take some 3x5 cards and go home, 3x5 cards, and go home and take out these references that I'm going to give you and copy these verses out on a 3x5 card. Put one in the visor of my car. Put one on the wall of the bathroom. Put one on the refrigerator. Put one on my desk. Put one in my pocket. And every time the spirit of fear invades my life, I will pull out one of the promises of God Almighty and read it out loud. Not silently, but out loud. God has given us His promises to encourage and to strengthen us. Here are a few of them. To put down on your 3x5 cards, and I wrote these out for myself. So you can write them out for yourselves. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear or be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, He is the one that goes with you, and He will not leave you or forsake you. That's a good one. Psalms 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Wow, that's another good one. Psalms 188:1, the Lord is on my side. Whom shall I fear? What can man do to me? Proverbs 3:25 and 26, don't be afraid of the sudden terror, for the Lord will be your confidence and keep you your foot from being caught. Really good one. Psalms 29:25, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Isaiah 41:10, you already read it and sung it. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you and hold you with my righteous right hand. Put these verses in your heart, put them on 3x5 cards, and when fear begins to move in your life, get them out and don't stop with these verses. Do your own research. You can find the word fear in the concordance of your Bible and look up all the places where it is found and mine those truths and make them part of your system. Psalms 91 is my favorite. And when the enemy comes along with his little whispers of fear, say, forget it. I have a word from God. Fear not. Just want to say at this point, Barb has taken 3x5 cards. Her favorites are the colored ones. And she has stuck little Bible verses in my car or in a book I had. And that has been an encouragement to me throughout my medical career. Number four, you need to cultivate a closer relationship with God. Listen, there were two men out of 12 who came back and saw everything that everybody else saw. Joshua and Caleb went everywhere the other men went. They saw all the giants, they saw all the walled cities, and they saw everything. But they came back with a different view of things. They came back and said, we can do this. The difference is, in fact, they were almost to be stoned from the fact that they tried to convince them they could do it. The difference is the 10 men who came back with a negative report saw the giants compared to themselves. And Joshua and Caleb saw the giants compared to God. It makes a lot of difference where you make the comparisons. The Bible says that the only two men that were allowed to go into the promised land was Joshua and Caleb. And the reason that God blessed them was because there was something uniquely different of them that the other 10 men who represented Israel in that spy trip. Notice what happened. Deuteronomy 1:36 said, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. Next in Numbers 14:24, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him, and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land in which he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Again in Numbers 32:12, about both Joshua and Caleb, for they have wholly followed the Lord. One translation says they were filled up with the Almighty God. They had developed a relationship with God that made God the most important thing. So surely when they walked into this land that God had promised them, and they saw the giants and the high walls and all the terror of the land, which the Bible says devoured its inhabitants, Joshua and Caleb looked at that and said, this is no big deal for God. God can do this. God, you have given us this land. We can do it. You see, when we cultivate a relationship with God, we begin to understand who God is and what his power is. And then we begin to see a God who is great and mighty and powerful and for whom nothing is too hard. In John 4:18 it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. What is the opposite of fear? What is it? Trust? That's a good one. Courage? Those are all good, but they're all wrong. The opposite of fear is love. That is what the text says. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love. In Timothy, which we read earlier, what was the lesson? God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a strong and sound mind. So how is love the opposite of fear? Watch this. When your little child wakes up in the middle of the night, as they often do, and are fearful of the darkness, you don't rush into the room and say, "Come on, Beckett." Beckett is my little grandson, and he's been waking us up at night. "Come on, Beckett, be courageous." You pick the little boy up in your arms and you hold him as tight as you can, and you tell him how much you love him, and you tell him everything is going to be okay, and you envelope him in your love. Isn't that what you do? Isn't that what God wants us to do when we are afraid? Isn't it? Throw ourselves in his arms. He is our Father, and he wants to love our fears away. When we understand how much God loves us, and when we get a hold of that truth, we will not be afraid. We will know that he loves us desperately. And then as we cultivate that love back, remember, we can only love him because he first loved us. When we begin to love him as he taught us, by his first love for us, that love begins to dispel fear. And when fear comes, and when fear comes, we begin to express the love of God in our hearts that is shed above by the Holy Spirit by reaching out to others as he reached out to us. Perfect love casts out fear. So, develop a close relationship with God and learn to know him as your Father. Don't spend so much time thinking about your fears, but spend all the time you can getting to know him, and you will be so excited to know that he loves you as he does. One last thought. Do you know that one of the fears that dominates more people than any other is the fear of death? Death is the great fear. There are many people that are terrified about death. We need to be able to not be afraid of death. That doesn't mean we want to die. It's a wonderful thing to say with certainty, "I am not afraid of death." The believer has the best that God has for him while he is here. But if God brings death into his life, his next waking moment is seeing God coming to take him home. There are some people that go all their lives in bondage. In Hebrews 2:14, "Inasmuch as children have partaken in flesh and blood, he likewise has shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, and release those that all through their lifetime were subject to the bondage of the fear of death." The Bible says that Jesus Christ came into this world and became flesh and blood, and he went to the cross and hung there between heaven and earth, and he paid the penalty for all sin and destroyed death's power over us. So that the Bible truly says that if you believe in Christ, you will live and you will be given eternal life, and physical death will no longer terrorize you. The Bible says that Jesus Christ came into the world and hung on the cross and paid the penalty for all our sin. He could destroy the one that had the power of death. Who is that? The devil. And he could release us from the bondage of death that may terrorize us our whole life. If you are a Christian, you are not afraid to die. Do you have that assurance in your heart? Are you sure that if you were to die, you would be raised in his second coming? The only way to be sure of that is to put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior and invite him into your life and accept him as your Lord and Savior, and ask him to take away from you the fear of death and give you everlasting life. And he is faithful to do it. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, we thank you for the story in the Bible of the 12 spies, Joshua and Caleb, and the principles we learned here from about fear. And we choose to obey your will and develop a closer relationship with you so that we can dispel fear in our lives. Send your Holy Spirit in our lives to accomplish that goal for us. In thy holy name, amen.